Okay. So asking you about Last Starfighter and how you know you got the part and what it was like filming.
Well, let's see. Well, I remember auditioning for it, and you know, you go through various stages of auditions, and at one point, Lance and I were put together to audition together. And he and I sort of went out to the hall and worked out what we were going to do and everything. And a lot of it, it was the scene that they wanted us to do is the one under the stars. Actually, I'm not even sure if this scene ended up in the movie. Because that was where we had the makeup scene at the lake. Do you know the movie at all? But it's with the beta unit. And I think the audition scene we had was where it was really the two characters sort of talking about life and everything. And we kind of ad-libbed. And so that was the audition scene, but we had really good chemistry and all that stuff. Yeah. So, and the odd thing was, is at the time there were quite a few, you know, pretty well-known actors of that day, and they decided to go with sort of unknown. So that was kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and he and I, another sort of unusual thing about it was, Lance is like the consummate actor. He's very serious about his craft, and he sort of insisted that we get together ahead of time and really discuss our characters and practice and all this other stuff, which is fantastic. What?
He did mention how much he was doing to the preparation. That's what I was
Preparation's really important to him, and that's sort of unusual, you know, especially in a movie. It's like you sort of show up on the set and wing it, basically. But so that was another great element of it. And then the shoot itself, the director, Nick Castle, was so excited and happy to be doing this movie. And he's also just a really sort of benevolent character and really kind to the actors. So both of us were quite young and quite new, and it couldn't have been a nicer situation to be in. And pleasurable. And then, of course, because he's the director, there's a whole trickle-down effect. It was a terrific set to be on. We shot at night every... all the stuff in the trailer park that I was involved with was night shooting. And that's really hard. You just get so tired. Your body never really adjusts, and it's kind of a nightmare. But every day I really look forward to going to work because it was such a great atmosphere on the set. So... and honestly, for being sort of one of the very first things that I did in the States and turning out the way it did, I don't know that I've ever really been able to duplicate that experience. And it's amazing that it has this longevity that it has. Because obviously when we shot it, you know, you sort of shoot it and you kind of finish and you move on to the next thing. Never in a million years would I have guessed that it would have the longevity that it's had. And that these men, you know, are coming out of the woodwork saying, this was like the first movie that I got to see by myself. And you're my first crush and all that other stuff. It's just like, really? I mean, how many people can say that, you know? What a great thing. It is so, it's so cool. And I appreciate all that.
What did you think of when you first saw it?
Well, that was another thing, is that a lot of the other stuff that I'd done, I sort of got caught up in like watching myself and critiquing myself. This was kind of the first thing that I saw that I could just sort of separate myself from and relax and get into the story and enjoy. I remember being surprised by that. By the end of the movie, I was like, oh yeah, I was in that thing, you know? But I've just enjoyed watching it. So that was cool.
That's a good experience to have.
I know. And it's unusual. Because normally I'm sitting there like, oh man, I can't believe I did it that way. Or I can't believe they used that take or something.
So you're very proud of.
Yeah.
And what do you think of the reception now? You know, you're finding a lot of, you know, younger audience coming in.
What happens is that the audience that really loved it when they were kids are introducing it to their kids. And so there's this whole new generation of kids coming up and appreciating it. And it's so different from you know, these kind of movies nowadays, you know, science fiction movies nowadays, you just, you know, all about special effects and in your face and bam, 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 yeah. bam, constantly. And this is really just a sweet movie about a couple of kids in a trailer park. And what's different is that the audience, the kids that watch it, can relate to it. It's not so far-fetched that it's just strictly fantasy. It's like, I could be that kid. I think that's what the boys think. And, you know, I mean, I was just sort of the typical girl next door in it. And guys kind of like that, too. It was sort of character-driven as opposed to just action-packed.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's like a boy's fantasy movie, for Pete's sake. He's got a cute girlfriend, and he gets to go into outer space and, you know, beat the bad guys and come back home, and she's still going, I love you, Alex. Every guy's fantasy, I think, and girls, actually.
I think it's a bit of both, right?
It's a bit of both, for sure.
The first thing that I saw you in was Night of the Comet. It's one of my favorites.
Yes, thank you.
I love
more
it.
A girl's version of The Last Starfighter, right? It's like
it's more girl power.
Girl power, I mean, why not? And in that case, so many girls come up to me and say, you had such a strong influence on me, which also makes me very proud.
You played a very strong character. Yeah. It was easy to relate to in that way. When you've got the girls, you know, they're doing it versus the guys that are
isn't that
going
nice?
At it. It's
that
good, yeah.
Because they weren't like some, you know, out of the ordinary girls. They were just ordinary girls,
yeah.
But they could look after themselves. And honestly, so many guys have come up to me as well and said, I just loved you girls and that. It, you know, it wasn't, they weren't like they were threatening in any way. They were just strong women that could look after themselves and still be girls. Silly girls, you know, going to the mall and shopping.
Yeah, I love that.
I do too.
Was that fun to do?
So much.
It looked
fun.
Like you were having a blast.
We had a blast. They literally closed down this department store and we shot there all night as well. Did that whole thing. But even more fun is all the shooting and all that junk. I love all that stuff. And the beating up zombies and things.
Yeah.
I love that junk.
Love that movie. It's been a while since I've seen it, but when I discovered it, I was all about that movie, and I can't remember how many times I watched it in that week. It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. The last convention that I did was in Chicago with Kelly Maroney, my sister.
So,
yeah, there's a big following of that one, too.
Yeah, I think I introduced a few people to it, and then after a while, then I found more people that had seen it, and
is that right?
It sort of took off from there.
Yeah,
it's just one of those little, when you find it, it's just so great.
Wow. One of those kind of under-the-radar movies, sort of like The Last Starfighter. You know?
Yeah, I think people kind of recognizing them a lot more now.
Yeah.
Do you find, like, are you happy with them finding new audiences, and it's just...
I'm thrilled and blown away. You never, certainly I never sat around thinking, oh, someday this is going to be blah, blah, you know. It's just like, which is also makes it so much fun because it takes you off guard. It's unexpected. But if it has a positive effect on somebody, then that's important to me. And if it makes me feel as an actor, you know, I don't know. I have never been drawn to projects where my character might be negative or, you know, influence people in a negative way or, you know, an overly sexual way or something like that. I'm just not really interested in that. Not that anybody would hire me to do that in the first place, but the point is, it's very gratifying as an actor to have some sort of influence in a positive way, especially to young people, because they're so easily influenced.
Yeah. What have you found to be the most challenging role for you?
It's a little boring to answer. I mean, every role has its own challenges, and they're all sort of different in different ways. It's like this, all the group together, that's why. one thing that was very challenging was I played a real life person once. So you sort of you try. And there was really no documentation about it, or film or anything about who she was. So you just sort of hope that you kind of touch on maybe part of the character. I don't know. I'm trying to think. The most challenging
question.
The most challenging part about this business is if you're working with somebody who you can't stand, and you're supposed to be like in love with them or something. That's happened a couple of times. I'm not going to mention any names.
Don't expect
me. But it's just like, okay, I love you so much, but not really. Because you suck.
That is, you've got to really put it forward when you have to do that. That's acting.
But honestly, what a great life. Look, it's so cool. Just sort of live vicariously through your own characters, you know.
It must be fun coming out to Australia, meeting us in every way.
It's unbelievable. When they say, everybody keeps saying, thank you for coming all this way. I'm like, they said, would you like to go to Australia and we'll pay for it? It's like, yeah, of course. And it's just beautiful, and everybody's been fantastic, and how can I complain about, you know, meeting fans, people that appreciate your work and are excited to meet you, you know, no complaints over here.
Are you going to have a chance to look around?
Well, Lance and I actually arrived here on Wednesday morning, so we spent, like, most of Wednesday looking around, kind of wandering around downtown Melbourne. And then Thursday, we took a trolley to the beach, St. Kilda's Beach.
Lovely.
And we did Federation Square. There's a museum there that's doing some Aboriginal art exhibition. So we did that. And yesterday, we went to Yarra Valley? Yarra Valley. And did a tour of some vineyards, four vineyards. That was
fantastic.
That's
beautiful.
So we sort of feel like we've sort of had a general idea of the area, which is good because it's a short time, and we didn't want to also try to fit in too much stuff so that we'd be exhausted. So it worked out really, really well, and also kind of set the foundation for the next time we come. Had the idea of what's going on. I think I was talking to you about that earlier, right?
I think the next time you come, you manage to get to Adelaide in South Australia, there's a place called the Barossa Valley, and,
right.
And that's probably the biggest wine region in Australia that makes the most of Australia's wine.
I've heard of the Barossa Valley for sure,
That'd be the place to go. It's so beautiful.
Right? Yeah. I would love to. Someday, I'm going to, you know, next time I come, hopefully I'll be able to, like, bring my husband, and if my son's still there, I'll bring him too, and really spend, like, a couple of weeks or something like that.
I think you need a lot of time to really explore. It's so much
more than
on.
Just 5 days.
A few days,
Right. So it's been fantastic.
That's awesome. Did you want to have some input?
I guess... How do you feel, like, thinking back on it, like, looking at, like, Last Starfighter and a lot of your earlier movies, how does it sort of dawn on you that, like, these movies have had such an emotional impact with people growing up like myself, and that, you know, as much as, like, Father Christmas or the Easter Bunny, like, people look back on those things, you know, with extreme reverence, and that, oh, now what their children do, you sort of just go, oh, my God.
It's kind of hard to absorb, you know, because I wouldn't want to say that you could compare me to Father Christmas for this, but thank you. it's strange because it's hard to get that, it's hard to absorb that concept, I guess, but because, you know, really we're just human beings and we just did this little movie and had a great time doing it, but how gratifying, it's so gratifying to know, and I only really realized it a few years ago. I worked a lot in the 80s and the 90s, and then I had about 10 years where I really didn't do very much because I was raising my kids, and about 4 years ago, I decided to go back to Los Angeles. I live in New York. I went back to Los Angeles just to see if I could get a job, basically. And so I was auditioning for a commercial. And the casting guy, and I've been out of the business for a long time, so it was just like, you know, I really had no preconceived. For me, it was like starting from square one again. The casting director came out, and he was just like, oh my God, you have no idea how much I loved you in The Last Starfighter, and my mother loved you as Kayla Brady in Days of Our Lives, and I was like, looking around going, are you talking to me? What? Yeah, I've been so removed. And also, I think it took that amount of time, really, for, you know, when you're in your late teens, early 20s, you're not going to be going around, I love you in The Last Starfighter. And it takes until you're, like, more a little more mature, maybe 30 or something, or late 20s, to admit that or realize that it's okay to say something about it. So I think I sort of came back into the business at a time when, you know, people were willing to say what a huge influence it had on them as a young child. But it just completely took me off guard. And nobody had been talking about The Last Starfighter around me, that's for sure. And it blew me away. So that was only about four years ago. And it's still, you know, like, wow. Isn't that so great? I'm so proud to have been a part of something like that.
That's really good. Because it's, I suppose, you know, at the time, even sort of, I guess now somewhat, when you're working, I mean, it's a job for you, like,
right.
And you sort of don't really think about, you know, possibly having that sort of indelible effect upon someone's life or a lot of people's lives, and then, like, you know, you skip ahead a few years and you're like, what the hell just happened? Like, you know, this was just a job.
Yeah.
I suppose that
it's very
factor.
Gratifying, though. I mean, because I guess, you know, obviously as actors, we just want to act. And I don't think most actors go into it going, I am going to change the world now with my acting. I think we do it because we just love to act. But if that's going to be one of the side effects, man, it makes it so worth it. You know, you get gratification just from doing the work yourself, but if you can have an effect on somebody else, how great is that? It's really cool.
So, how'd you get the role in Weekend at Bernie's?
I was going to ask that. You were? It's so funny because, well, I mean, I auditioned for it, as I do for everything, and I read with Jonathan Silverman, or Ted Kotcheff, the director, and in fact, at the audition, I remember reading and going, oh my God, I screwed up the lines. And I was just like, I called my manager and said, I cannot believe it. I completely screwed this audition up. And also, I'd read the script and thought, what is funny about a dead guy being pulled behind a boat? Yeah. I really was kind of offended by it. But I knew it was a pretty big movie, so I just was like, well, if I got into this, it would not be bad for me, so... You know, I've got to set aside my feelings about this dead guy being pulled behind a boat and all this. And then I thought I blew the audition, and then I got the job. So I was just like, wow, okay, great. And it was so much fun shooting it because it was so funny. I mean, everybody was having a lot of fun, but I honestly really didn't get the humor. And frankly, if I didn't have anything to do with Weekend at Bernie's, and saw it, I'd probably go, oh, well, that's kind of boy humor, kind of sophomore boy humor. But whenever I mention that pulling the body behind, guys inevitably go, they crack up hysterically laughing. And I'm like, it's a guy thing. Do you like that scene? Or?
It's been a while, but I was younger when I saw it.
It's pretty funny. It is pretty funny, but it's a specific sense of humor that especially boys love that stuff. And frankly, I'm just like, okay, I don't really get it. It's not in my DNA, that humor.
It's weird.
It's the most hilarious thing ever.
I remember it so vividly because my dad brought it home from the video store and we didn't have much money, so we were sitting in like fold-up chairs, like deck chairs, and both of us ended up on the ground folded in these deck chairs because we were laughing so hard. And it's like, what's so funny? It's like, I don't know, it's just funny.
It touches a nerve.
It does.
It really does. And I think that primarily it's that boy nerve.
And I think it's just the reaction of the two guys in the boat.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Homer Simpson humor before Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
It's like, ding, it's like, what's that noise? Ding, there it is again.
I know. And I'm like horrified. I'm like, it's a dead body, you morons. I'm just like, oh my God. But I have to say, I was very happy to be a part of it. Because it's an iconic movie in so many ways. I keep hearing on TV shows, people whose favorite, like on series, they'll like just sort of throw away the fact that Weekend Birdies is their favorite movie. Or it's, I'm telling you, it's become sort of a part of, you know, American modern culture. You hear Weekend at Birdies or some reference to it all the time. It's wonderful. Anyway, cracks me up.
It must have been good to have that shoot on the beach, you know.
Yes, it was beautiful. You know, they built that house. There's no foundation. They built it. It's just sitting on the beach. And they built the pool, heated it up and everything. And when the shoot was over, they just ripped it all down.
That's I had no crazy. Idea that
yeah,
that's
isn't
what
that
they
wild?
Did.
I mean, you go up the stairs and it's unfinished, and except where they shot. But, it was literally like almost complete house just stuck on the sand for the shoot.
I mean, you would have thought I'd just find some rich guy because I'm sure there's a few around that area.
Well, you know, it was, in fact, that area, not so much. It was supposed to be, you know, in Long Island, that the, what's the area called? The Hamptons.
Yes.
Which is a really fancy dancing, toity, all the famous people go there and have these mansions, and that's where it was supposed to be. But they shot it in North Carolina in this little town called Wilmington, and the beach was wide open. There were no houses right on the beach, so that's where they shot it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And the island, when they shot us, you know, taking a ferry over to the island and getting off, what's that island? We stayed on Turf Island. Or no, Bald Head Island. We stayed on this place called Bald Head Island, and I think that's where they had, like, the boat coming up to the dock and everything, and everybody getting off, because Wilmington, where we shot, was not an island. It was just a beach on the mainland. So they did all that stuff on another island called Baltimore Island.
So do you still keep in contact with the guys from...
I saw Jonathan Silverman a couple of years ago at the screening of a movie that I did. It was like the after party. And he showed up unexpectedly, which was very cool. He's the nicest guy. So nice. And he was just married to a Canadian, which is great because I'm Canadian. So I was like, you know how to pick the quality girls. And I haven't seen Andrew McCarthy since. But, you know, you run into mostly you sort of work with people and you create this relationship, and it's a very tight sort of community when you're on a shoot. You're thrown together for like 2 months, and you see each other every day, and you're working together, and you really do have you form this kind of relationship that is very tight. But when the film is over, it's like you all go off in different directions, and sometimes you never see each other again. I didn't see Lance for like 20 years. And then we coincidentally met up again, and that was about 4 years ago, and we've been and now he's living in New York, so we see each other fairly often. And Kelly Maroney from Night of the Comet, when I went back to Los Angeles to try to get a job, she and I kind of reconnected there at lunch, and then we did a convention together. So we're in touch again. And, you know, Facebook and email and all that stuff really helps with all that. Oh, in fact, I did a movie called Mischief around that time as well. And Chris Nash and Mel Danske, the director, and blanking. Doug McKeon, we're all in this movie with me. Doug McKeon and Chris Snatch and I got together for lunch a couple of years ago. We hadn't seen each other again for like 20 years, but because of Facebook and stuff, we sort of hooked up again. And Mel Damsky, he was the director. I've been talking to him. And it's interesting because Facebook really brings people back together, which is nice, you know. But normally, you don't see each other again for a long time, if ever. Maybe cross paths every once in a while. But
thanks to the internet, you've got it all back.
Yeah. Or you can if you want to, yeah.
Yeah. A mouse click away, as they say.
Yeah.
I have to ask, as you did Days of Our Lives.
Yes.
What is it like doing a soap opera? How does that differ from the movies? Because I know I've watched that for a long time. Growing up, we always just watched Days of Our Lives.
Did you?
Oh yeah.
Days of Our Lives is big here. I remember
it
that.
Is. Yeah. It is, absolutely.
Doing a soap opera is so hard compared to doing a movie or television.
Wow.
Because you do an hour show in one day. A movie is
crazy.
An hour and a half in 2 months. A TV show is maybe an hour show in a week or something like that. So if you have a strong storyline, you might have 30 pages of dialogue in a day. And that's
a lot.
Hard.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard. And, you know, the soap opera storylines and things like that, either you like them or you hate them. And I have to say, it was always like hard for me to buy into completely.
Yeah.
But I so appreciate the people that do it on a day-to-day basis, because it was the hardest job I've ever had, I have to say.
I don't know how some people have been doing it for so long. How they, you know, I guess once you're in the routine.
Yeah. It's
but some people have been there a long time, and I know it's so difficult.
But they do, you do get into it.
Yeah.
You get into a rhythm, and you know your character so well, and you know the other characters so well, that I think that helps. I did it for 2 years, and I don't know that I really clicked in completely. I have found it difficult all the time. And in New York, I did a couple of short bits on a couple of soap operas. And I was just like, I was so nervous. Because I knew that, also, there's not a lot of flexibility in terms of takes.
So yeah, yeah.
You got to
get it in, yeah.
You got to say it, you got to get it right, and boom, they move on. And that always scared the crap out of me.
It would be very...
It's a lot of pressure. So I admire soap opera actors. I don't really have a huge desire to do a lot of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never say never. You know, that could be a good thing for me. If somebody offered me a soap opera, I would think twice before turning it down. Put it that way. Although soap operas are really dying out now. There's not a lot left in the States.
They kind of cancelled out, and there's still some that are going.
Yeah, and some talk about maybe going on the internet and, you know, doing a web thing, but whatever.
I think the audience is changing for it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I think it'd be hard to get in new people.
Yeah.
I mean, the old saying was, if I don't watch it for 10 years, I can get back into it.
Yeah.
You can't really do that now. Everything... from week to week is something different.
Yeah.
They really changed that format.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah. It's a bit difficult.
Yeah.
Just making sure there's nobody there.
Yeah, these are actually... We went on our wine tour with these guys. I was going to get the autograph for them.
So are you doing anything currently, aside from coming out here?
Right.
Is there anything you're working on now?
When I get back, I'm going to rehearsals for a play that I'm doing in Branson, Missouri. And I have a TV movie that's coming out on a network called the Thriller Network in the States called Ghoul. It's kind
of
sounds
like
thing.
A good Thriller Network Ghoul, yeah.
It's scary.
That bit.
Yeah, right now, though, for the next few months, I'm doing this play.
Awesome.
So, keeping busy.
Yeah, well, congratulations.
Thank you. I know, it's good
that you've come back and started up again.
Yeah. Yep.
Good. Well, yeah. I don't want to, like, keep you, so we can wrap it up. Yeah.